Things are happening quickly. The sifting, the sifting. We got a holy shift and a holy sift. Glory to God, it's happening. Just turn to 2 Corinthians 6, please. In verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. In other words, their heart is open. You're not going to open the heart unless it's, if it's contaminated, you're going to hide it. In other words, our hearts are exposed to you. Amen. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections or feelings or emotions. Amen. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as to what? Children. That's immature. Why? Because they're being led by their feelings. You also be open. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers or those who are disobedient. It's very simple. God says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? So many people think that sacrifice is supersedes obedience. That ain't true. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now, an unbeliever is not someone that says they're a believer. It's someone that says that they're a believer and doesn't follow. That's an unbeliever. That's the dangerous one. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Now, you know, so many times people just think that an idol can be a statue or whatever. No, an idol can be anything you rely on more than God. You depend on it more than God. Some people's jobs are idols. Some people's vehicles are idols. Some people's homes are idols. Some people's, whatever it may be, they're idols. In other words, they're more important than God. How many times are you on your way to church and you see people out there scrubbing their cars, cutting their lawns? Oh, man, that's their idols. Why? Because God's not first. Amen? Hallelujah. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. If they do what? If they come out from among the world, if they come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what's unclean. And the reason why people don't discern what's unclean is because they're not filled with the Spirit. Something's blocking them. Now, listen, the gifts of the Spirit are irrevocable. Does everybody get it? In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes and gives you the gifts of the Spirit, and you blow it, you even break covenant, you can still speak in tongues. Remember how many came before Jesus. They said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils. We did all of these things. And the Lord said, I don't know you. You practice lawlessness. What were they doing? Touching things unclean. They were agreeing with them. And he says, and then I will receive you if you don't do these things. If you come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what's unclean. And don't let anything become an idol to you. And then I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. It's that simple. Come out from among them, from the world, from the attributes that are, you know, we're supposed to be. Paul says, why do you entangle yourself again with the affairs of the world? God has set you free. Now, there's something that we got to understand, because the heart is the core of all desire. Amen? And so you will know someone by their what? Desires. That's what the Bible says. He says you'll know them by their what? Fruit. Fruits of what? Desire. What's the desire? Well, that desire becomes an individual's idol. Now, we may have desires to do things about the kingdom business. Amen. That's different. But it's not about personal business and even personal business. See, I always believe that even if you have a company, it should still be a ministry. If you're a believer, that company should be a ministry. It should be operated like a ministry, not like the world. Amen. People go to school and learn all these things, how to be accountants, how to do this, how to do that, and whatever. That's cool. But there are things that people don't understand. Even when Jesus came, he said, what was he about? His Father's business. When we're born again, everything you and I should be attending to is the eternal reality and everything about mission rescue. Everything, everywhere you go, whatever you do, whatever you're building, wherever your work is, whatever you're doing, everything should always be about kingdom business, thinking that way. Not about how much money I can make to do this. Not how much money. No, it's about kingdom business. How can I witness the character of Christ? Amen? Because even Jesus, even they said to him, Lord, we fed the hungry. We gave money to the poor. We did all of these things. And he said, man, you practice lawlessness. There's something that happened here. Their hearts became hardened. Idols got involved in their life. They were no longer what we call circumcised. They were uncircumcision. That means they've lost covenant. They've lost covenant. People can break covenant with God and not even realize it. Isn't that what the enemy tries to do? The enemy cannot cause you to break covenant. He can't curse you. People curse themselves. Amen? People curse themselves. The devil can't curse you. He tries, but what he'll do is cause you to stumble to curse yourself. And how does he do that? Choices. Leviticus 20, starting at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel who gives any of his descendants to Moloch, which is a false deity, he shall surely be put to what? Death. This is called abortion. He shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Can you imagine everybody grabbing all these people that work in these abortion clinics and stoning them to death? That ain't gonna happen today, I can tell you that. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Moloch to defile my sanctuary and profane my name, my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Moloch, and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit a harlotry with Moloch. So he's saying, look it. And this is where this country is kind of like in danger right now, and I've shared this already before. Because even though that they've removed the abortion mandatory laws, or approvals, each state is supposed to be getting their own authority. Well, many of these states are promoting abortion. It's going to cause problems to this country. Because God heals our land, right, if they humble themselves and repent. If we shed more innocent blood in this country, which they still are, so it went from maybe 350,000 to 50,000 a year. That's a lot. That's what we know of. Not even when we don't know of. Amen? And a person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy, and I am your Lord God. You shall keep my statutes to perform them, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. For everyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother. His blood shall be upon him. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteresses shall surely be put to death. Aren't you glad we're not under the old covenant anymore? There wouldn't be, half this country wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be any politician left. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. And if you go through this, all about this is the area of committing broken covenant. Everything is about breaking the covenant with the Lord. So these individuals become uncircumcised. There's an area where there's a circumcision of the heart. Amen. And this is where now you and I in the new covenant, it's not about circumcision, it's about circumcision of the heart. Which circumcised individuals are coveted people. We are coveted children. Amen. Turn to, false deities or fallen angels and their demons. They're establishing to steal, kill, and destroy the blind and the innocent. That's who they go after. They attempt to go after you, but you know it. They'll eventually go after those who are blind and innocent. God says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Amen. Ezekiel 23:35. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back. Wow. Therefore, you shall bear the penalty of your lewdness and your harlotry. In other words, we're to put God before us in everything we do. What happens is when people choose to do what they want to do, they ignore God or they justify and they put him behind them. That's what God is saying. You put me behind you. Not in front of me. Why? Because you wouldn't let me talk to you face to face. You justified, reasoned, and everything else. The Lord also said to me, son of man, will you judge Oholiah and Oholibah? Then declare to them their abominations. For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. They have committed adultery with their idols, and even sacrificed their sons whom they have borne to me, passing them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and profaned my Sabbaths. For after they had slain their children for their idols, on the same day they come into my sanctuary to profane it. And indeed, thus they have done it in the midst of my house. Furthermore, you have sent for the men to come from afar to whom messenger was sent. And there they came, and you washed yourselves from them, painted your eyes, and adorned yourself with ornaments. You sat on a stately couch with the table prepared before it, and on which you had set my incense and my oil. The sound of carefree multitude was with her, and the Sabaeans, who brought from the wilderness with men of common sort, who put bracelets on their wrists and beautiful crowns on their heads. And I said concerning who had grown old in adulteries, will they commit adultery with her now and she with them? What's he talking about? Babylon, the harlot. In other words, harlotry, the blood is on the hands. We're to keep the Lord before us, not behind us. Now, there's something about we've got to understand, because this is one of the big areas of deception. He's talked about familiar spirits, mediums, and so forth. It's also associated with pharmakia, which is black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. Amen? The pharmaceutical companies that practice witchcraft, you know, what is, isn't deception Satan's greatest weapon? Amen. So one of the things that they do is they sometimes cause harm. Amen. Then they provide a medication. Then after you're addicted, then they provide the medication to rescue you. Sounds like the devil's play. Pharmakia. Come on, if they really didn't want people to be addicted, they wouldn't allow the drugs in the country. Amen? They'd be really monitoring these pharmaceutical companies. They're promoting stuff like, what's it called? I don't know, all kinds of stuff. Oxycontin and stuff like that. These things that people take, man, once they take it and they become addicted, oh, the pain is gone, and then the pain returns, not because of the pain of the injury, but because of the pain of addiction. And it changes. That's witchcraft. And of course, now they offer, you know, cards for marijuana. Hey, man, get a marijuana card now. You know, some people need it, let me tell you. But believers don't need it. Believers don't need it. If you're a believer, you get in God's presence, you get high. It's the greatest high. That's why he's called the Most High, man. I get high every time I worship God. I'm joyful, peaceful, hallelujah. It's everything we look for in all the drugs when we were trying to do our whole life. Amen. All the money we were trying to make was trying to bring fulfillment, walking in his presence. Heck, I had nothing. Nothing. Cardboard boxes for furniture. But I was more filled and higher than I ever was. Because I had him. And that's where God wants us to always be. And listen, I know that the battle is tough. It's tough in this world because there's so much, you know, we're pressed on every side. Not only by the voices of the strangers, but by the technology, the artificial intelligence, all of this stuff. Man, look at your phone. You got to... Every time I go on the internet, I mean, something pops up. It's like, man, it's crazy. You got to wear glasses that you can only squint through. So you don't get sidetracked. Amen? I mean, it's really crazy. What the enemy's trying to do is cause us to break covenant. That's what it's all about. He can't force you. But he wants to deceive us to break covenant. Look how many people break covenant with God because they become lonely. Or they get offended. Or they commit adultery because their wife or husband didn't please them with something or they disagreed with. Well, anyways, the problem is because God wasn't their fulfillment. And that's what's happening all over the world. You know, as a husband, I'm to protect my wife from the voice of the stranger. And she's to protect me from the voice of the stranger. So people must learn how to protect their spouses from the voice of the strangers. And as brothers and sisters, we should protect one another from the voice of the stranger. Not encouraging it, not watering it, not planting it, but exposing it. In love. Amen? That's why the simple saying of who told you that? Not who told you that? It's who told you that? Who told you that? Come on now. Where did that come from? It came from my thought. Really? Do you really think that? That's the corrupt mind and the voice of the enemy that's influencing it. You know, think about when you're getting clean and so forth. Man, you got attacked every way, upside down, all over the place. I used to go in convulsions when I walked by a phone. Because I wanted to call my connection. And I was like, no, I went home and locked myself in my house. Then I went to detox. Then I came home and locked myself up again. Until God rescued me. But again, when he is your permanent rescuer, when he's truly your Savior, when he's truly your Lord, he's always before you. You never let the enemy step between you and him. Amen? Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place or presence? Woohoo! This is qualification to stand in his presence. He who has what? Clean hands. That means ain't no blood on him. And a what? Pure heart. That means circumcised. Who has not lifted up his soul to a what? Idol. An idol. Can medication be an idol? Can alcohol be an idol? Can heroin or... It can be an idol, can it? Amen. Nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generations of those who what? Seek him and who seek his face. Why? Because they put him before him all the time. See, the ones that don't put him before him have lost the fear and reverence and honor and respect to him. Oh, they can say they love him. They can say all kinds of things. They can blame everybody else. But that's not the truth. The truth is they lack God's presence. Amen? And pride always goes before a fall because they're relying on themselves. Hebrew, verse 22. But you have come to the mountain of Zion and to the city of the living God and heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Yes. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all. To the spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, called sifting, as of the things that are made, and that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. In other words, let us do God's plan, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. A new covenant of blood. There is the shaking to expose the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Those who are covenant children and those who are not covenant children. I call them generic or genetic. Amen? That shaking is exposing everything. It's awakening. It's going to continue. Romans chapter 8. Many people are in a, how can I say, perpetual backslidden condition and never come out. They have a form of godliness, but they just can't come out. It's continuously a backslidden condition. Out front looks wonderful, has a form of godliness, but inside, it's a constant backslidden condition. Why? Because the practice of lawlessness. And most of these people don't even know they're doing it. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, so the shaking is going to reveal the glory in you. It's going to shake up and remove the things that are displeasing to God so it can be taken care of. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of men. For the revealing of the sons of men. So the shaking is revealing of what? children of God, the servants of the Lord. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Even the creation that is corrupt will be turned. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. That's called praying in tongues, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God. If you love him, you what? Obey him. To those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? That's powerful. That's a covenant child, isn't it? Amen? Oh, happy days. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. For if we sin willfully, it's premeditated. After we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, we're not covered. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fire indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Aren't you glad we're not under Moses' laws anymore? Or how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Wow. Touching unclean things. See, people are not taking that seriously. They're not taking it seriously. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by the reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you have compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Oh, how beautiful. Willfully agreed with the presence of evil are individuals that are in a perpetual backslidden condition, broken covenant, and no cover. This is where the enemy steps in even more and more and more. You know, what is repentance? Repentance is to turn away. So you can repent all day long but not turn away. You know, I mean, many of us who were addicted, we were repenting and couldn't turn away. We tried to. But then God always makes a way of escape and puts us in a place to turn away. Amen? You just got to hang on long enough without killing yourself. 1 Samuel 17, 25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from the taxes in Israel. Sounds like a politician. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's a Nephilim. That he should defy the armies of the living God. And the people answered him in this matter, saying, who shall it be done for the man who kills him? Now, Eliah, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliah's anger was aroused against David and said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, What have I had done now? And if there not, is there not a what? Cause. See, there's a cause, man. Right now, there's a big cause. Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and the people answered him as the first one did. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, your servant, will go out and fight this Philistine. David wasn't concerned about his life. He was concerned about pleasing God. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine, non-covenant individual, far be it that should come and harass the covenant army of God. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine and to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So Saul was looking through the carnal eyes. Amen? But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck and killed him. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. So David was using this as a comparison to the things he's done in his life already. But see, many people have not even reached that level yet. They've not reached that level. They haven't reached that level of faith in that area of truly trusting God all the way. They can say it all they want. But God says something to me all the time, show me. Show me. You know, there's that saying, quit talking it, but start what? Walking it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Uncircumcised Nephilim, non-covenant. But David was a covenant keeper. Heaven was behind him. Amen. So many people are afraid of demons and devils. And of course, they promote it all over the TV and everywhere else. It seems like all of these things that we're hearing and whatever. And, you know, we just went to a flick. It was interesting. My spirit would say, man, why don't you just bind that stinking devil and cast it out? Instead, they promote it long and long, and they drag it out, whatever. I mean, how many times you want to step into that camera and cast that devil out? What are you wasting time for, man? Hallelujah. In Romans 2, verse 25. He says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirement of the law, will not his circumcision be counted as circumcision? Or uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physical uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew, is not one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from what? God. Circumcision of the heart. I stopped singing the song, Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog, because most of the younger ones don't know it anymore. You can listen to some of the old teachers, you'll hear it. Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog. It was done by a group called Three Dog Night, I think it was. Well, they were Three Dog Nights, let me tell you. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, curses a man who trusts in man. Hello. And makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, who shall not see when good comes. In other words, they're going to miss the opportunities. But shall inhabit the parched lands in the wilderness, in the salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the river, the waters, which spread out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious. What's the fruit of anxious? Fear. In the year of drought, fear. Fear dams everything, dams the flow of the anointing. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. I test the thoughts, and even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings and the fruit of his what? Desires. That's how he judges. I'm going to close at Ephesians 2, verse 11, please. Therefore, remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile both to God in one body, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And the world will see it. The world is about to see a lot of things. The shaking is going to increase more and more and more. The sifting will increase. Remember, judgment begins in the house of God. Amen. And then it goes to the world. So everything that you're seeing getting ready to happen in the world is already happening in the house of God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Prepare us for those things to come. Keep us in a place where we have clean hands and a pure heart, and not approval of any innocent bloodshed, but approval of your will. Wherever we go and whatever we do, let it bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.